It's a big world out there, but modern technology is making it smaller every day. You'll find out how as Chasm now presents Tech Talk. Your phone calls are welcome at 282-4154. And now, here's your host for today's show, Mike Tabak and Chasm's Tech Talk.
All right, welcome into Tech Talk, 780 KAZM. Mike Tabak here with you. We've got a great show for you. We're going to be talking with our friend Bob Coates from Bob Coates Photography, and we'll talk to him about what he's been up to, some of the things that he does on a monthly basis. We get kind of a rundown of what he's been doing and what some of his projects are, all dealing, of course, in the world of photography. And we'll, of course, talk to him about the tools that he uses for his trade and some of the things and places you can go on the website, some of the things you can see on the websites. That'll give you some great information about what Bob Coates does. Bob Coates Photography will remind you throughout the program. You can go to the websites that he has, two of them, bcphotography.com. Again, that's bcphotography.com, or you can go to successful-photographer.com as well. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Bob Coates, our guest today on Tech Talk, 780 KAZM. Welcome back here to Tech Talk for everybody, including Bob Coates, who is unaware whether or not he was actually present or not.
No, I was looking at the wrong board for deciding whether I was on or not. You've got, you know, multiple boards here now. Mm-hmm.
When I look at your cameras, do I tell you, Bob, you need to do this, you need to do that?
Because actually, you have.
No, I do not. I do not. That is a blasphemy. All right. We say hi to Bob Coates. The problem with Bob is Bob's actually done this job before. He's been in radio before. And
a little knowledge is a dangerous
a little
thing.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. A little bit of knowledge goes a long way with some people.
But I do know a lot about cameras, and there's some new things going on with the Lumix cameras. They just came out with a couple of new ones.
The new Lumix cameras, you brought two of them in, and I am ever so impressed about how fast the technology seems to update and increase in the different tricks and things that you can do. The more power that you have available in these cameras at a smaller size all the time, you don't have to lug around those huge cameras anymore that you used to.
Correct.
It's really impressive.
Well, we've got the new Micro Four Thirds cameras, you know, and they've been out for about 3 years or so. Okay. That's when I got into it.
What is Micro Four Thirds?
Basically, that's describing the chip size.
Okay.
Full frame camera is considered what exactly it was used to be, a 35 millimeter piece of film.
Okay.
And now they have different sizes. I mean, they have medium format cameras that are like, excuse me, medium format cameras that are, you know, four to five times that amount of space that the chip is capturing, and then they have the smaller ones that they're working toward, and that's what I've been working with.
Gotcha, okay.
Amazingly, the quality of these is up there with some of the full-frame chips, depending upon, you know, the subject matter and the ability to capture the image properly, but it's getting incredible. They're able to put since they're starting with a smaller chip, now we can build around the smaller chip a smaller package to carry it in. And because we're now mirrorless, there's no mirror flapping up and down.
Right.
It's electronic for the shutter. Then there's even less space that needs to be taken up, so it can be very small. And now there's some really incredible things going on. For example, these cameras are equipped with 4K video. Now, we all know what HD is.
Right, that's 1080.
That's 1080.
Right.
Well, 4K is 3,800 pixels approximately wide.
Okay.
And so it's four times the size.
Wow.
So when you do it, it's not just four times bigger, it's four times the area.
Right.
So with the ability to capture these images in video and being able to pull still frames from the video that are 8 megapixels large, we now have a whole new host of features that are available to us. One of them is called photo mode. We talked about that before. And there's several different ways of doing the photo mode. But basically, the camera sets it up so that you can pull these stills out very easily.
Right.
And you can do it in camera, or you can do it later on through your other software and pull individual stills from your video. Well, now they've got it set up We talked about this before, when it's actually recording all the time, and you can see something, and you can push the button, and it will grab a second into the past.
Wow.
And a second into the future.
Yeah.
So you don't miss some of those micro moments. So if I see you blink and I go, oh, I wanted to catch that blink, I can push the button after you've blinked and still see the blink and pick it out from that video clip later.
That's incredible. To me, that's one of the most impressive things about the new wave of technology with some of these cameras is the kind of the same, similar to the same technology that we have in our DVR systems. There's like that constant loop of information being gathered. You got in at home, you've got a half hour or so of recorded material on your DVR all the time, as it's just constantly, so you can rewind if you missed something on live TV. The ability to rewind and capture something you missed while taking photographs, that blows me away.
It's not quite as deep as that,
right?
But it is a feature that's there.
Right. It's you're not going to go back a half hour on something, but you know, to be able to see something and then pow, hit the, you know, if you're a half second behind or something like that, no problem. You got it.
You still got it. Now, the other thing, and this is the newest feature that just came out.
Okay.
And these are on these two new cameras, the Lumix G7
okay. And
the GX8. They're both, you know, nice solid cameras. They have a 1-inch chip, which is a little bit bigger than that Micro Four Thirds chip, but they're still mirrorless cameras.
Mm-hmm.
So the packages are still small. The chip's getting a little bit bigger, but now you can choose your focus after you've made the image. So if you're not exactly certain where you want the focus, but all right, well, we've talked about many things. Like there's a thing called depth of field.
Right.
Okay, depth of field is what's sharp, what's out of focus.
Right.
And the distance between the two. So if you have a very wide open aperture, a big hole or a small number like 2.8 or f4 or even 5.6, the things in front of and in behind there can be slightly out of focus. And that's what kind of allows you to draw attention to your subject. Well, if you shoot with a really wide aperture, you may get exactly what you want or you may just miss it. And if you just miss it, boy, that's really nasty.
Yeah.
Okay. So now, or you might want to have a different rendition. Maybe if I'm photographing here, I may be photographing you and I've got a Powerade bottle, a little computer, and you, the microphone, and the board in the background. Well, I can tell totally different stories depending upon what I focus on.
Right.
I could... If I have the focus on the Powerade and you're all soft and the board's all soft in the background, it's like, ooh, Powerade at the, you know, at the radio station,
right,
with
right,
Mike.
Yeah.
But it concentrates on the Powerade. Or it could be focused on you and the Powerade is kind of there, but now soft. So it's a totally different story depending upon where you set your depth of field.
Interesting when you think about that, but you're right. In just about any picture you take, whatever the situation is, if you had it focused in on different things, it tells a complete same photo, same pose, same look, same expressions, all of that. But depending on what's in focus and what's a little bit softer, really makes the difference in the story you're telling.
And that's an incredible tool for especially if you're close, you know, when you're shooting at the higher end and you've really got a really shallow depth of field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're photographing somebody from the side and you want this eye in focus or you want this part in focus or a little bit further on the other eye,
mm-hmm.
you can choose between them after you've made the image. And again, this is due to the fact that the camera's actually capturing a video clip, and then you can play back the video clip in the camera and step through them and go duh, 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 and then you say yeah, and it says, the camera goes, do you want to save that as an image file?
Mm-hmm.
And you just go yep, and then it saves it right to the card, and then because we have the Wi-Fi, we can immediately Wi-Fi that to the phone,
right,
and then send that off to social media or to somebody,
right,
for whatever reason.
It's just amazing.
Well, they're computers now.
Yeah.
It's a full-on computer setup.
And that makes me think of something, and I asked you this question before we started the show, but, the interesting thing that we're starting to see is everything is starting to, at some point, work the same way, where our phones now are like these tablet/computers, you know, that are in our pockets. All of our laptops are starting to operate the same way. They have the the tablets that are tablet and laptop together, as they work together. Everything is online. Everything gets constant software and app updates and things like that.
And the cameras are now doing the same thing.
Wow. That's incredible to me. The fact that you can get a camera, pull it out of the box, set it all up, and do all kinds of things with it, and then it's getting its own applications and updates and things, and a little bit of a change here, a little bit of change there, upgrades and stuff like that, without having to buy a whole new camera.
Yeah, now some upgrades and things they actually charge you for.
Right.
Like there's a video upgrade for some of the cameras now that does something that's very technical. The average consumer definitely would not ever have any use for it. It has to do with grading color and video, if you're using it for video. But for the most part, they're starting to do the updates at no charge. For example, the two cameras that I have here, after they came out, they started realizing that they can make the cameras be image stabilized in more than one direction, which means it's more like a gyroscope inside on the lens and the camera. So before, it was either the camera doing the stabilization or the lens. But now it can be the lens and the camera, which makes it a much more axis stabilization. So it's even steadier. So you can hand hold down to slower speeds with the camera, ensuring sharper pictures at smaller ISOs. So it's pretty amazing. So now I can go to the website at Panasonic and slip in a card, download a profile, slip it into the camera, put it in there, and then the camera is now has that capability.
Wow, that's incredible to me. But that's the wave of the future with everything.
It's the wave of the future, and Panasonic is on the front edge of this.
Yeah.
I mean, and when I first went to work for Panasonic as an instructor, or not really working for them, but teaching for them, the logo and the tagline was changing photography. And when I first heard that, I was like, well, that's a little grandiose. That's, changing photography.
Yeah.
Really, come on, cut me a break. And they are. It's amazing. And the more as things grow, they're changing more and more and more. It's incredible.
It really is, to see where they've come and where these cameras have come in the last 5-6 years is just incredible. It's unbelievable from one point to the next. It makes you wonder what the next 5-6 years is going to bring.
No idea.
There won't be any need for a bob anymore. The camera will just walk around by itself and take photos.
I may slowly but surely be, teaching myself out of a job.
There you go.
You still need to see the light, though.
Yeah.
You still need to know the composition. There's still a whole lot you need to know. And a good camera can be quite helpful.
Yeah.
But it's not the be-all and end-all. I can guarantee that.
Well, it's like the, in the Rocky movie when Apollo and Rocky go to fight again after they've been working together. And he says, how are you going to beat me? Show me everything you know. Well, not everything. You got to hold a little bit back, Bob. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We got more on Tech Talk. 780 KAZM. Again, if you want to see some information about what Bob's up to and what he can do for you, go to his website, bcphotography.com. Again, that's bcphotography.com, or go to successful-photographer.com. And we'll talk more about those websites and some of the other things that Bob's up to right after this. Stick around. Welcome back in to Tech Talk, 780 KAZM. We're talking with Bob Coates today. Bob Coates, of course, of Bob Coates Photography. You can get more info on his website, bcphotography.com, and successful-photographer.com. What's the difference between those two sites for people that don't know?
The bcphotography.com is my commercial website, which is showing my images, what I can do for you for advertising, marketing, sales, portraits, things like that. Mm-hmm. And then the successful-photographer.com site is geared more toward teaching photography and sharing ideas and the new technology, for example, with the Lumix cameras and software that comes out. I do Photoshop tutorials that I basically share what I do as I work. So when I was shooting the Sky Ranch Lodge up on top of the hill here in Sedona not too long ago, I used some new LED lights. So I talked about how the LED and the constant lighting made the job a little bit easier, how I used them. Then, of course, you know, showing off the work that I do for the hotel. I did the same thing for Sedona Real, mm-hmm. as I use different types of technology. And like for this new focus, a post-focus thing, I also found a really cool way. Now, this was really super advanced, but you say, you know, post-focus, you want to pick out the focus spot. Well, I used the post-focus and stitched or layered a whole bunch of those images together in order to create a super sharp image from front to back, combining all the little sharp bits all the way through.
Wow.
So, for example, when you use a macro lens, your focus area is very, very, very shallow. Your depth of field is like minuscule. It's okay. Within maybe a quarter of an inch or less.
Wow, okay.
And you can use the best part of the lens, and you can focus all the way through the scene with that, and then put them together later, and then you have this hyper sharpness and different look totally for, you know, using a macro lens.
That's incredible. It's I've seen those images that you do like that, and it's like, man, it's a lot to look at. It's so sharp and so clear for such a distance and such a view that you find yourself looking at all the detail. And it's like when the people that are really into art and stuff sit there and just examine all the brush strokes and stuff. It's like that when you're looking at one of those type of photos.
Yeah, and now that's a use that they did not design this for. The reason they designed the pull your focus or choose your focus later was for, you know, Joe Average shooting out and saying, hey, I want to capture my family doing some stuff, and oh, okay, now I've got that, and now we're taking it and utilizing some ideas probably in ways that the engineers had not thought of.
It's very interesting, but you know, that's the way technology works. If somebody creates something for one use, and then people find 10 other different uses for it, and you never know which one's going to be the most popular. You mentioned how you had changed and was working with some LED lighting and stuff like that. That's a flip side to some of the other technology and stuff that you use. You have, whenever you go on a photo shoot and you have something, if you're in studio or if you're on site somewhere on location, you have lights, you have things that you set up, you have changes there too, as far as the technology is concerned.
Well, the beauty of the LED lighting. Now, it's not quite home yet. There's not enough power in the lights for the money. I mean, you could buy lights, but you know, some of those lights are $3,500, $4,000 a piece for one single head.
Wow.
And so I'm not to the point where I'm buying those. You know, I'm waiting for the technology to kind of catch up and run the prices down as more and more people start to use it. But the beauty of the LED lighting is it's WYSIWYG. What you see is what you get.
Got it.
So we don't have to estimate or think or, well, okay, when the flash goes off, I'm pretty sure it's going to look like this. Whatever you see there, you can see the shadows, you can see the highlights, you can position everything and really dial it in before you push the shutter. And that's a real advantage when you're working that way.
Is the lighting better? Is it more true to color or anything like that?
Depends on which ones you're using. Uh-huh. I mean, there's very cheap LED lights, and you go, well, Bob, I can buy that for that same light you were just talking about. I can get the same power for, you know, $500.
Right.
Well, there's the thing called a CRI. Or a color rating index.
Okay.
And the color rating index is how true is it to color?
Interesting.
From the spectrum. And there's a scale of 1 to 100. And the ones that I'm talking about have a CRI of 94 or 96 or above.
Wow.
And the other ones have like a 50. And that means you're going to be looking at real problems in color correcting your images when you're done.
Wow.
So there could be magenta casts, that people could look green, you know, blah.
Right. Interesting. Wow. I never realized that that's what, you know, that there was that there was an index like that you could look at and know. You know, you think, well, LED is LED. It's a white light, no problem.
No, and some of the really good ones, the ones that I really would like to have in my quiver once the power gets big enough, is that you can actually change the output from 10% to 100% of the possibility of the light. And the other part is you can change the color temperature from like 2800 Kelvin, which would be the kind of light that you get from a light bulb, mm-hmm. to daylight, which is around 5600 K,
wow.
or 5600 K. Sorry.
Right.
So that's like light at midday, which is a clear. And if they were together side by side, mm-hmm. the 2800 would look yellow and the 5600 would look blue.
Interesting.
So, okay. And then you can have a range anywhere in between there with, you know, dialing in the color that you want, depending upon if you're working with window light, indoors, outdoors,
yeah.
mixing, you know, and there's sodium lights and
That's
tungsten
crazy.
And halogen lights, and they all have different color temperatures, and you want to match them together.
Interesting. All right. Go to bzphotography.com or successful-photographer.com. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and wrap up after this. Welcome back into Tech Talk 780 KAZM. Again, thanks to Bob Coates for joining us. Thank you, Bob.
You're welcome.
Go to bcphotography.com or successful-photographer.com. Thanks again for joining us on Tech Talk.
Until next month.
You've been listening to Tech Talk.
Tech Talk.
Tech Talk. Here on KAZM. Join us each week as we learn about the latest technological innovations affecting all of our day-to-day lives. Join us again next Wednesday at this time for Tech Talk.